Sunday the 29th of September 2019, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Christ Inside and Out. Sermon title, Christ-like Actions. Bible reading, John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Today's reading is taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy a bed for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go amongst so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and all the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Folks, good morning. We're at the end of our sermon series, Christ Inside and Out. We've been looking and thinking about how can we be more Christ-like. But actually today we're just going to flip that a little bit and think about God's input, God's involvement. I wonder if you just turn to your neighbour, I wonder what sort of week you've had. What sort of week have you had? If you're not next to somebody, just move across the pew and just, what sort of week have you had? You'll have to move across the pew, brother. Enough with the laughter and the chatter there. Enough with the I've had a dreadful week. No, I can tell you it was much worse than that. Seriously, it's not going to go down as my best week in history. And Tuesday was an absolute nightmare for me. Last week we spoke about our planning application into Redbridge for the development of Somerville Hall. You remember that there was going to be a big meeting on Thursday evening, just gone, to tell us whether we could go ahead or not. On Monday, we get a phone call through to the architect, who emails out immediately the councillor withdrawing the planning application from that meeting, because they want to have another meeting with us and see if we can move it forward. At the moment, they're of a mind not to pass it, they're saying. Well, that's just nonsense, isn't it? So, and I don't even know if they're allowed to withdraw it. But anyway, there we go. So I knew that Tuesday is just going to be a manic day. Tuesday's going to be phone calls. It's going to be me retelling the story. I've retold it now for many, many years. I'll be retelling the story down the telephone. I'll be emailing. I'll be setting out our case. I'll be all of that. I was not looking forward to Tuesday. And then, all of a sudden, I wake up and it's Tuesday morning. And I come down here as normal, 8 o'clock in the morning for my quiet time. And I think, that's strange. One of the gates, the big main gate in the car park, one of the gates is kind of slightly open. I can't find the padlock. I'm presuming maybe the padlock got lost last night. I don't know. Maybe the milkman, because the milk had been delivered and it was in a slightly different place. So I think the milkman's come in through the gate, delivered the milk, just left the gate swinging a little bit. And anyway, I want to come on in and I want to sort out my prayers, because I've got a lot to pray for on this Tuesday morning. But as many of you will know, of course, the reality was that an unscrupulous thief has climbed in, come down the side of the church, climbed over the barbed wire, 7-foot fence and barbed wire, and has nicked the minibus, stolen our minibus. You'll see that it's not there. We had 15 or 16 young ladies ready to go out in it that very day. Dave was ready with the keys in his hand to drive them off on a trip out, and they couldn't go. My day was going from bad to worse. I wonder if you've ever had that in your life. It happens so often that we've even got a saying for it, haven't we? It never rains. It never rains. That's how it felt that Tuesday morning. My day going from bad to worse. And you'll remember, actually, that on that Tuesday it did rain. There were flash floods everywhere, but that's another story. When everything goes south, when your plans don't come to fruition, when nothing goes right. And do you know, just in that very moment, it just struck me how insignificant we are. Here am I, just a tiny, tiny dot in the great wide world. Billions of people. Billions of people out there, all of them living their own little life. And mine is just one of those. 7.7 billion people, Google tells us, crowding this planet. And we're just one of eight planets, and the planets are hundreds of light years apart. And that's just our solar system. The scientists reckon that there are other solar systems out there. Did you know that there's 100 million stars just in the Milky Way? I know it depends on your definition of a star, but 100 million stars just in the Milky Way. I think scientists think that there is one star particularly that only comes close enough to us, to Earth, to be able to be visible every 32 million years. How do they know that? What is the conversation that goes on there? Chris, put the kettle on, we'll wait and see how long it takes to come round again. 32 million years. And there I was, stood like a blade of grass in a 100-acre field filled with blades of grass, crying out to God. Not literally crying, very nearly, but I managed not to. Easy for us to feel unimportant, isn't it? Easy for us to feel cast aside, left behind, invisible in a crowded world, our words falling on deaf ears, our tears only noticed by ourselves, our struggles and our strifes of no interest to anyone else but us. So we better man up and we better get on with it. I wonder if you've ever been there. Hear the words of grace that came out of our Bible reading today. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather up the pieces that are left. Let nothing be wasted." Tamar, Rahab, this is a quiz by the way, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Mary, mother of Jesus. Where are they all mentioned in the Bible in one place? Well, the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. They're all mentioned. This is the line of integrity that leads from Abraham across 42 generations, 4,000 years roughly. All the way to Jesus of Nazareth from Abraham. And in it, God reminds us of the place of these five women. Mary, a 16-year-old girl, and then four other women, all of whom are of dubious character. And that's an understatement. But they're all remembered in history, spoken about 2,000 years later, and more for some of them, much more. Because no matter how low you feel in life, no matter how bad you think you are loved in heaven as part of God's miracle. Tamar, Ruth, Rahab, and Bathsheba, all dysfunctional, all had issues. Maybe in the depths of their heart they felt broken and worthless. Not a single one of them was forgotten by God. And friends, I can tell you that God loves you just as much, right here, right now, this morning. No matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how the world is treating you. But we can forget that. We can forget that. On Tuesday, I stood before God, I looked to heaven, and I said, "Lord, I want to die." I didn't want to die. I didn't want to die. I said, "Lord, I want to." What I meant was, I want the ground to open me up, to open up and swallow me up. It was too much, just too much. The building works, the knockbacks come in, the minibus has been stolen. Too much pressure. The emotion, the feelings of being let down, the helplessness, the anger. Do you know what God did? In an instant, without thinking about it, he took me straight back to that broom tree under which Elijah sat. You remember Elijah? 1 Kings in chapter 19. He's had great victory over the Baal worshippers, but now they're after him. They want to silence this man of Yahweh. And he cries out to God. He runs for his life, cries out to God, I've had enough. I'm the only one fighting here. But you remember God's response. I have reserved 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I have got the battle sorted. Remember Jesus when he's arrested in the garden and the disciples want to start some fisticuffs, don't they? They all reach for their swords, as do the men that have come to arrest Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, put away your sword. Do you not think that I can call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Folks, we need to remember this. God is bigger than anything we face in this life. Heaven has got more resources than you and I will ever know of. And when we give our lives to him, when we say yes to Jesus, the battle becomes his, not ours. Because he's interested in every little bit of his miracle that we call our lives. And that's a wonderful thing to remember. You remember the old saying, never forget in the dark what you were told in the light. Never forget when things get difficult, those promises of the Bible that Joy prayed out before us today. God is there for us at every turn of our lives. Three things very quickly that we see from this story from the hillside. Number one is simply this: God is our provider. God is our provider. How on earth do you think she's getting on riding that motorbike? And there are thousands of pictures like that on Google Images. You can get up there. I presume she's off to market. I don't know what she's doing. She's got to be going somewhere. And we need to do that. We need to do that sometimes. She has somehow got to get that stuff to market to put a meal on the table. God has made us creative in our thinking. He's given us determination and passion because we're made in his image. True story. I went to a local church for a meeting. I have to do that lots and lots these days. And we had a look around their church, and it was very nice, lovely church. But I noticed that in the chancel area, in this area here, it was really gloomy. And I look up and I see that they've got 8 lights hanging down from the ceiling, but only 3 of them are working. I said, you've only got 3 lights working. You've got 5 bulbs out. I said, he said, yes. I said, well, why don't you mend them? He said, no, he said, we can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't? I said, have you got a ladder? I mean, it was a long way up. We are talking a long way up. I said, have you got a ladder that would go that high? Oh, yeah, we've got the ladder. I said, have you got the light bulbs? Oh, yeah, we've got the light bulbs. But so-and-so, the church warden, won't let anybody go up there in case they fall. Health and safety. Well, now, I can tell you that the leaders in this church know that health and safety is next to my heart. In every way, shape and form. I said, don't be stupid. I said, go get the blooming ladder. Sometimes we've got to get on. Things need doing. We've got to do them. But friends, we've got to be careful. If we're not careful, we get into a pattern of providing for ourselves when Jesus Christ himself is stood right in front of us with the key to heaven saying, it's all yours, mate. What do you need? That's what happens with Philip. Where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat? Jesus asked. He's got a smile on his face. He's testing them. But Philip fails the test. He gets his calculator out. He starts looking around. He starts adding it up. Well, he said, that's going to be a half a year's wages. Jesus says, don't be stupid. I'm only joking. Put the calculator away. We're not going to buy anything. Even though he has stood in front of Jesus, could have reached out and pulled his beard, he forgot the power that comes with Jesus. Put your finger here See my hands, reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus told him, because you have seen, you have believed. Because you have been able to stand, physically stand in front of me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. Folks, what do you need provided for in your life? As you sit here now, what do you need? Because let me remind you, God is your provider. Jesus is stood in front of you with the keys to heaven saying, what do you need? A time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to climb up a ladder and replace some light bulbs. But I think that King Solomon has missed something off of his list. I think it should say this. There's a time to say, God, I need your help. God does not want our lives looking like this. He would much prefer that our lives look like this. God is our provider, and he will provide for us. Number two, heaven's resources are enough. Heaven's resources are enough. Great crowd of men were following him, about 5,000, it says in the text. The theologians come running in with, and there would have been women and children as well. I don't know if you know the story of George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver was a black man born into slavery in Newtown County, Missouri, in America in the 1860s. He's not allowed to go to his local school because his local school is for white folk. He falls in with some good folks. He grasps what education he can. But along the way, he comes to Jesus Christ. He gives his life to Christ. He never looks back. George became an agricultural scientist, being known as a plant doctor in his later life. That was the nickname he got. He looked for alternative crops to cotton. He worked extensively with methods of farming that prevented soil depletion. He loved creation and he loved the God of creation. And he always believed that his faith was absolutely key to all the work that he was doing. And one day, George asked God to show him the secrets of the universe. Show me the secrets of the universe. But the story goes that God showed him something far smaller instead. He showed him a little peanut. Little peanut. And he gave it to George. And George took it and he worked on it. And he worked on it over many, many years. And his work with those peanuts led to discoveries for cosmetics, paint, oil, marble, plywood, even the dye that they use in Crayola crayons. George pointed all his achievements back to God, saying that the Lord has guided me. Without my Lord and my Saviour, I am nothing. It's an amazing story. He came up with 44 recipes for peanuts, including peanut butter. And he worked with sweet potatoes too. But a peanut. The bishop said a few weeks back, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. Did Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, understand it? Well, maybe just a little bit, possibly at least. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But even he says, how far will they go amongst so many? Do you remember last week when I said, whatever you bring is enough? Do you remember that? Whatever you bring is enough. God is just over the moon that you brought something. For George, the provision that he got from God, the peanut, seemed way less than he had hoped for. He wanted to know the secrets of the whole universe. God provided him with a simple peanut, but it was more than enough. More than enough. What do you need? Know in your heart that God will provide, and know that when he provides, it will be more than enough. More than enough. 12 whole basketfuls of miraculous food gathered up after everybody had eaten their fill. The first records of a food bank ever recorded come straight out of the Bible, out of the abundance of a loving God who will always give us more than enough. God, our provider, more than enough. And then lastly, miracles do happen. And I know what you think I'm going to say. My son has tidied his room and my daughter's done the washing up. No. No, not that sort of miracle, I'm afraid. That's a step too far. No, I'm only joking, I'm only joking. Folks, the only reason that I believe that God will overcome whatever the obstacles are in Redbridge and in their planning department is because the Bible is filled with miracles. And my life is filled with miracles. And I believe that God is a God of miracles. When something stands in front of the kingdom of God to prevent it, the kingdom of God always wins. David and Goliath. Gideon with his 300 men facing the might of the Midianites. God protects his church because he's a jealous God, we're told. But don't forget, we're church collectively. Yes. But we're also church individually. You and I are children of God, and together we make the church. Elijah, and we've spoken a lot about him recently, Elijah was sent to turn the heart of Ahab, you remember. He sent for the whole church. He sent for God's people, for Israel, to bring Israel back. But the eye of the Lord is on the least, as well as it's on the majority. And you remember Elijah is sent to the widow at Zarephath. And you remember that she has a jar of flour that never runs out and a jar of oil that never runs dry. If you want me to give you just one example of God's miraculous work amongst us over our planning application, and there are hundreds, but if you want me to give you just one example of God's miraculous intervention, I bring to you the name of a guy called Graham Cox. Graham Cox. Now in semi-retirement, only just recently come into semi-retirement, he was the head of a division of a building company, and he has done thousands of building applications. He knows buildings inside out. He knows how councils work. He knows planning applications. No question in my mind that he has been sent to us from God. We got to know about him as a chance phone call. We were cold calling. Cold calling. And as a result of that, this man now works for us what they call pro bono. He works for us free of charge, free of charge. Can you believe that? Go to a barrister, it costs us 7,000 quid. Go to Graham Cox, and he will come to our meetings with us for free. Didn't even let me pay for a cup of coffee for him. Amazing. I described him to the bishop as an angel. I'm half expecting him on the very day when we cut the ribbon at the back there as we come in for the very first time to the newly refurbished premises. I'm expecting him to disappear in a puff of smoke. The world tries to thwart us. God will overcome. God will overcome. Friends, God is our provider. Collectively as a church, he longs to provide for you, though, individually in your life. His provision is enough. His provision is enough. And miracles do happen. Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe." Friends, have faith, trust God, and know that he will never let you down. Amen.